Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
And I'm Alice Marcus Krieg.
And we are the ladies of Groundworks, Inc. We design and build gardens in and around New York City. And our show aims to bring the culture to horticulture. And today we have a great lady of horticulture. I'm sure Maria won't mind us calling her that.
No, yes.
Maria Zambini of Upshoot Horticulture. But before we introduce our guest, I just want to remind you that you need to like us on Facebook, all right? Can I just do some ruthless self-promotion? We know that you like us because you're listening right now or you'll be listening later, but you have to really like us on Facebook. Go to our Facebook fan page, Groundworks, Inc., Weeding Plants, and follow us.
And we often have little contests.
And prizes.
And prizes, little fun things that we mail to you.
So our goal is to double our fans by the end of the year. So go to Facebook right now and help make it happen. And in fact, Facebook is how we connected with our guest today, Maria Zambini, more than a year ago. And we finally met her last year at the Mid-Atlantic Trade Show in Baltimore, Maryland. And this is a great example of how social media is like invaluable for making connections with like-minded people in our industry, in any industry. Mm-hmm. And it's the industry, the sort of business of plants that we're going to talk about today. And our guest has been involved in many facets of the green industry. Maria is a fourth-generation nurseryman.
Nurserywoman,
I know. We have to fix that. And proud of it. Horticulture flows deep in her family veins. After graduating from Penn State University with a Bachelor of Science in Horticulture, she managed the family-owned 1,000-acre Lake County Nursery Wholesale Nursery and Champion Garden Town, which was a premier destination attraction garden center, and also was president of New Plants, Inc., which was the sort of new plant research and development division of the company. Maria took a new path in 2009, partnering with her father, Jim Zambini, to form Upshoot, LLC, where she focuses her many talents and industry experience on sales, marketing, and licensing of LCN Selection's new plant introductions while continuing plant research and development for international clientele. Maria currently writes a monthly column in American Nurseryman magazine, which is a horticultural industry trade magazine, and is also a contributing editor for Horticulture magazine. And Maria was also the first female president of the Ohio Nursery and Landscape Association and is also a regional director for the Garden Writers Association. Maria, that's quite an impressive resume. Thanks for being on the show today.
Well, thank you, Carmen and Alice. It's really a pleasure to be with you today. I appreciate the opportunity very much.
And she has a lot of fun. She travels. It's amazing.
You have a great job.
Every 2 days, you're like
traveling
some
somewhere.
Other place.
Yes, yes. Most days I don't know what time zone I'm in or what state or anything. So, but I am in Ohio right now. I'm home actually for a whole 6 days.
Good. Woo! What's high in the middle and round on the ends? Ohio. Hiya.
And Alice is a native of Ohio as well.
Yes, I'm a Buckeye as well.
We're going to work a little backwards on the show today, Maria, and start with what you do now. What exactly does your company Upshoot do? Can you explain it in layman's terms?
Sure, I will. As you stated, yeah, Dad and I formed a new company back in 2009. We chose to concentrate kind of on what we do best, and that is new plant introductions. And my dad has been a breeder of new plants for a long time. All of his items are under the LCN Selections name. They're real easy to spot. If you ever see a plant with a name with the letters ZAM on the M, like Lollyzam or Cellzam, you know that's something that he created. So what we're doing now is we are doing sales, marketing, and licensing of these products, and along with other new plant introductions from other breeders and other plantsmen from across the United States, from across the ocean and other countries. We're bringing them here to the United States and sharing them across to all kind of gardeners.
That's great.
And then because I don't have enough time in my life, I've kind of done this writing gig now, as you mentioned. I write for American Nurseryman, a trade journal. I also write for Nursery Management Magazine, another trade journal. And then I'm in some of the state-by-state gardening guides, as well as Horticulture Magazine. I've appeared in Fine Gardening Magazine. And I'm actually right now, I didn't even tell you this, I'm working with Susan Morrison on the 50-foot Garden Series, Design Solutions for Small Spaces. These will be a series of ebooks that will be available in November from Amazon.
Wow.
Pretty exciting.
Now you're speaking our language in New York City.
Yeah. So I'm authoring plants that will fit in small spaces for zones 5 and 6. She's got one book that talks about the 50-foot garden, and then we've got individual books for each zone with 50 plants that might work well for you.
Oh, well, that's great. And those are ebooks.
That's correct. Fantastic. If you want our input, we know a lot about small space gardens. Feel free to reach out.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, one of the things we wanted to talk about, and one of the conversation that we kind of started when we met in Baltimore was, you know, we get the sense that the plant industry is a little bit behind other industries of a similar size, you know, in terms of marketing. And at the show last January, you introduced us to the team that was working with you on the HGTV plant line. So tell us about what they're doing and what your role is in that project.
Sure. I'm working for a company based in Nashville, Tennessee, that's called Agricola. And we are the exclusive licensee for the HGTV Home Plant Collection. HGTV is more than just a TV program. We are now a lifestyle brand. Mm-hmm. And so they are bringing products to market with various companies, such as if you go into Sherwin-Williams, you'll find the HGTV Home Paint Collection, or they're doing furniture with Bassett, was just launched in August, flooring with Shaw, lighting with Elk, and plants through Agricola. So I'm their director of plant development, so it's my job to go out and source new genetics to bring them into the program. It's my job to put together the different collections, be it shrubs or edibles, trees, perennials, kind of the whole kit and caboodle. And then it's also my job to work and bring retailers on board to carry the product, as well as growers to produce the product. So it's great. It's a lot of travel, but it's taking me all over the country. I'm getting to meet some of the brightest and best retailers, growers, and people who are working on brand new plant genetics.
That's awesome. And it was fun to hang around with you at the show. I remember you kind of gave us some behind the scenes insight
sneak peek
as to what things we should be paying attention to. Hint, hint. And it's fun to be on the forefront of plants and marketing and what's happening.
Well, this program, I mean, there are other plant brands out there.
Sure.
But I really think that this brand is revolutionary to the consumer market and to our industry. You mentioned our industry lags behind, and that is true. We are good working people, good hardworking people in our industry, lovely people, a lot of family-owned businesses. But the truth of the matter is a lot of us were more production-oriented. We weren't quite marketing-oriented. And so we've lagged behind a little bit. This brand, I think, could really be the start of something brand new for our industry, because never before have we had a brand who has a presence on TV. I mean, face it, we're in consumers' homes 365 days out of the year.
Right.
There's not another plant brand that can say that. We also have a new magazine that HGTV launched last October, which I think really speaks to the power of that brand when you consider that print media has gone downhill, and they are now over 100,000 copies being distributed each time, or 1 million copies being distributed each time, 500,000 off newsstands, over 500,000 in subscription. That really speaks to that brand. And so, you know, we've got the TV, we've got the print. Obviously, there's online at www.hgtvhomeplants.com. So it's pretty exciting to be on the ground floor and helping build this program from the bottom up.
Absolutely. Carmen and I actually were on the HGTV Landscapers Challenge show a few years ago, and we're also in their designer portfolio. And just having that affiliation has done wonders for our business. So it's going to be really, really fun to watch plants become much more mainstream and the love of plants. And I think HGTV is exactly the right people to do that.
It's natural. I believe that, you know, HGTV knows that the G's been a little bit silent. So they are really, really, truly excited about this particular lifestyle brand line coming out and bumping up that G a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be a capital G.
And I will tell you, I was very, very happy. The people that I'm working with at HGTV, they are actually avid gardeners. In fact, I'm almost afraid to have a meeting with them because I'm afraid they're going to ask me a question that I don't know the answer to.
It's like the cobbler's shoes. You
know? Yeah, yeah. But so, no, it's great. And they're a very giving company and quite wonderful to work with.
So, Maria, how are the plants selected for the brand?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, you know, I'll go out and source. Well, let me back up a minute. Really, the other thing that sets our brand apart is we're not doing the breeding ourselves. So we're not sitting here with this bucket of genetics that we need to push through to the consumer. We are more solution-based. What we're doing is we're trying to look at, okay, what does today's consumer need or want to help them be successful in the garden or in their gardening space? So let's go find those plants that will fulfill those needs and or put them in a package or in a way that will help them be more successful. And so what we do is we come up with those ideas. I search for those plants. We put our team puts together these collections, and then we actually look for input from our growers, from our partners, our retailers, whomever it might be, and then we actually take that idea up the chain of command. And there's a final kind of body of five, three people from Agricola and someone from HGTV and someone from the University of Tennessee as well, to look at those plants and give those plants and that program a final blessing before it becomes reality.
Well, give us an example of a problem or that the plants will solve, for example.
Well, I think, you know, last year we soft launched our annuals collection. And it's all solution-based. So they all revolve around mixes. So we have a mix in a true one-gallon container. And then we have that same mix in either a hanging basket or in a larger size container. We have all the components that are in those mixes available in individual quarts. So what does that mean? If I'm a novice gardener, I've not done a whole lot before. I'm not sure what to buy. But you know what? I know what color I like. I know what color my home is decorated. I could look at it and I could go, oh, purple genius. I love that color. All right? I love that color combination. And I can very easily decorate my home with the same confidence on the outside that I can do on the inside with the paints or with my bedding, where I can go, I'm going to put that hanging basket on my porch. I can put that big decorative container on either side of my front walkway. I can take the smaller mix and utilize it in flower boxes along my patio. It just makes it's kind of the Granimals concept for those who are old enough to remember that. So it makes making decisions really easy
and quick
for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Easy and quick is what it does. And yet, now this year coming up, what we've changed that's new is we have some other individual components, companion components. So these aren't in the mixes, but they're still color complementary,
right,
and they still grow well together. So what does that mean? That means someone like me, who maybe is still really pressed for time, but wants to be a little bit more creative, I could buy all those quart containers and create something all on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not stifling anyone's creativity. I'm only adding to it and maybe giving them some inspiration by what they see in our and in the mixes that we do offer.
Okay, hang on one second. We have to take a break.
Sure.
We're talking with Maria Zampini, and we'll be right back. You're listening to We Dig Plants on Heritage Radio Network.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hi, welcome back to We Dig Plants. We're here with our special guest, Maria Zampini of Upshoot Horticulture, discussing the business of plants. And let's take a little turn and talk a little bit about women's roles in the business, Maria. So at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that you write regularly for American Nurseryman magazine, which begs the question, was it hard for you to be taken seriously when you first started out in the business, which is still pretty much dominated by men?
Yes. The quick answer and the simple answer is it is, but we are still dominated, but it still has changed an awful lot since when I came into the business full-time, which was back in the early 80s. I mean, I've had my fair share of experiences. I remember being at the Pants trade show in Philadelphia.
Well, that name says it all.
You know, I remember being there and working the trade show booth with one of our salespeople, and he went off to go do something. I'm standing there, and then the gentleman walks up, and you know, I ask if I can help him, and he was like, "Nope, that's all right. I'm sure you just work in the office and don't know anything. I'll wait till your salesperson comes back." So, I mean, I've had those experiences, but at the same time, I've been really blessed to have some wonderful mentors in my life. My father was one of them. Jim Schroeder was another one who always encouraged me. Ron Wilson of the W.A. Natorp Company. Ron has a radio program now himself as well, and he was the one who nominated me for president of the Ohio Nursery and Landscape Association. And you know, there's a good example right there. I'm the only woman in president of that association in 100 years.
Yeah.
And I'm probably only one of maybe, you know, six or seven women who have ever been a state association president. So, you know, we're still working it.
Yeah.
And we'll get there.
Yeah. So let's talk about women now are not in the back office anymore.
No.
Let's right. talk about women in the industry and you know, what they're doing, because they're breeding and propagating and, you know,
they're in all facets of it right now. And I'll tell you, here's the key. It's a well-known fact that the majority of sales of our product is for women,
mm-hmm.
or is to women.
Right.
So who knows better what a woman wants than a woman?
Exactly.
You know, so I think that there are some, you know, people out there who have really gotten that and went, you know, I as a gentleman may not know everything that goes on, but I know enough to go ask the women in my office, what do they think? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and like I said, I grew up with my dad who was, that's what he did. He would go around to the ladies that worked in our office here and get their opinion. That's why he was successful at having a destination attraction garden center before there was such a thing.
So he had a binder full of women then, right?
Oh, he did. And you know what his thing was? He knew how to think like a woman. That's right. Why he could do the marketing at the garden center and do cross merchandising, because he went, here, he could just think like a woman.
Right. Well, being surrounded by them, one would hope,
right?
You know, that it rubs off.
So can you tell us, Marie, a little bit about some women in the business that are making some, they're kind of making a mark in the industry and important things that they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, because as you know, I mean, our world is so diverse. You know, as far as people being in the floriculture end of things or the landscaping or landscape designing end of things.
Right.
I certainly think, I think one lady who is really showing up is Shirley Boveshow. She has the World Garden Report, which is online, and she's making a mark in, I think, not only for women, but for our industry and trying to help take it to the masses. There's other people in the retail end of things, such as Flora Grubb out
in San Francisco, right.
In San Francisco, you know, there's another person, you know, and the breeding end, I think of, I'm looking at All American Daylilies logo right now, Jack Roberson. He's the breeder behind that out of Missouri, he did the Black-Eyed Stella. But when you look at it, it's his wife, Jo, that's behind there doing all the marketing that's bringing the attention to his work.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of women out there who are really stepping to the plate and helping our industry move forward.
And it's very interesting to me because, you know, Alice and I are really into gardening history and history in general. And on the show, we tried to have a lot of different perspectives, not just contemporary, but also historical, and kind of try to link things together. And one of the things we thought...
Vita Sackville West.
Yes, yeah. You know. Well, in the Victorian age, gardening was one of the few professions that women were actually considered well-suited for, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't have many choices. And now, you know, 150 years later, I still feel like it's tough for women to make headway sometimes. What do you think the industry can do to encourage more women to study horticulture and to work in the plant business? What do you think we can do to improve on that?
Oh, that one's a good one. And I've thought about that question. I guess, you know, I come, you know, my grandmother and my mother were just, my grandmother was an immigrant. You know, she didn't speak English. She had to teach herself to speak English. She was a woman who lost her husband early on and had to raise, you know, 8 children that she had in 10 years all on her own. I think I've been lucky. I've had some really great role models that have helped me just know that you have to keep moving forward. You hit one obstacle and you simply have to pull up your bootstraps and keep moving forward. And I think that people can't be discouraged. I think mentoring is something that we can do. I have found that for myself the last couple years. There are people who have been great mentors to me within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very lucky that way. I think, too, people coming into our industry, I think, you know, in my time when I went to school, you always went and you got your degree in horticulture or you got your degree in landscape design or landscape architecture. I think nowadays you have to look at that and go, is that best, or do I also need to do a major in marketing or
mm-hmm.
one in business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was sending a kid to school right now, you know, I'd maybe say do a double major or do a major and a minor so that you have that business experience. I think the social media end of things is something that's a real opportunity for women who want to be in this industry. I think that's only going to continue to grow and evolve, and I think that's a particular area that, people could, that have that gardening bug and love plants, could be involved in our industry and help our industry get with the program a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you about the double major. I think business, finance, you know, coupled with a humanities degree, I think is really going to mm-hmm. take people far. And now that home ec, you know, in quotes, has become so popular and such big business, thank you, Martha Stewart, you know, I think there's a lot more opportunity for women to excel in that in particular.
And if, and just like, this is a very unscientific, you know, analysis, but I bet that women make up more than 50% of hosts on those, you know, home and garden shows, right, Maria? I mean, if you just think about who is,
I would say so,
who is the face, you know, yeah. of yeah. Of that aspect of the business, it's mm-hmm. women mm-hmm. talking mm-hmm. and pointing, like explaining, you know, so what's right. happening.
And you know what, too? I think also it's up to us as mothers to encourage our children to be more green and to teach them how to garden.
Right.
And if we don't have the space to garden, at least teach them the appreciation of what the earth does for us, what it can do for us, and you know, expose them to those places. Like where I live, we've got something called Lake Farm Park, which is almost a one-of-a-kind area where, which I'm very proud because it's something my father helped develop when he was on the Metro Park system. And it's a place where kids from the inner city can come out who have no idea that, gee, you can actually grow your green beans. Green beans just don't come in a can or
exactly.
in,
right.
you know, and help them understand the milk comes from a cow and all those things that we kind of take for granted that mm-hmm. we shouldn't take for granted.
Well, I think the food aspect of horticulture yeah. is going to, I mean, it's already huge, yeah. but I think it's really in the next 10 years, I think it's just going to, mm-hmm. you know, bust open. But let's,
yep, I would agree.
Let's switch. And that's something where women, you know, as you know, I'm actually involved right now in pureeing my son's food. He's 8 months, and it's a major, major focus of the week, you know? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and I think knowing where it comes from, how it's grown, who grew it, you know, what the genetics are, what, you know, what the seed right. looks like, what the flower looks like, you know, all those things, I think women are poised for. But let's switch for a second, mm-hmm. because you had the opportunity as president of your trade association to go to Washington and represent the plant industry. So tell us some of the key issues that you were lobbying for down there.
Sure. Yeah. It's probably a good 15 years or so. I've been politically active within our association and been heavily involved. And, you know, we all kind of need to do our duty and make ourselves heard. And there is strength in numbers. And so as my involvement with the Ohio Nursery and Landscape Association, every 2 years we would actually go to Washington, D.C. to lobby on issues that were important to us. In fact, we were actually in D.C. on 9/11 when all those horrific tragedies occurred. So mm-hmm. we were right there and watched the Pentagon burn from our hotel room. So yeah. It was a time I'll never forget. But, you know, some of the issues are immigration reform, which just kind of seems to drag on and drag on because we can't seem to do something about it.
Right.
We would also about the estate tax, making, you know, a lot of our businesses are family owned.
Yes.
And we want to be able to pass them on from one generation to the next.
Right.
But not tax that or unfairly burden that family who's inheriting it. Funding. You know, we are not, if we were corn or soybean or some other agricultural commodity like that was food related, you know, what the research funding you get through the government is pretty substantial, but being our little horticultural group, we don't get a terrific amount in comparison to what the other subsectors in agriculture garner as far as
right.
Research funds. So we would always go to make sure we at least still got the same piece of the pie every year and didn't lose anything, while at the same time establishing our own horticultural research institute, our own foundation, to help us do our own research funding and grants to people across the country. And, you know, I'm proud to say that Ohio was a leader in that, in giving a substantial amount of money to help research.
I mean, if we follow the path of Holland, you know, and other European countries where the government does support ornamental horticulture, it's such a big part of their identity, of probably their GDP, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what size
mm-hmm.
is the horticultural industry now in dollars, would you say? The U.S. market.
You know, I don't know off the top of my head, but what I do want to point out is if you go to ANLA.org, mm-hmm, there's mm-hmm. a lot of information on our National Association website as far as issues, you know, legislative issues that are important to people in our industry, that they know about them. There's also a lot of good information as far as the size and scope of our industry. We are crucial, you know. Unlike other sectors in agriculture, for every $1 spent in horticulture, we give back $12 in other jobs. So that's a higher spinoff than what you're going to get in other industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good number. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah. And that's a good ANLA.org, American Nursery.
ANLA.org, yes.
Right.
That's the American Nursery and Landscape Association.
Okay, so one final question.
Yes.
Because you are in Ohio, your vote is actually going to count.
Woohoo!
If you could get the ear of either one of the presidential candidates, what would you ask them to do for our industry?
Well, you know, we have to deal with Mother Nature every year, and Mother Nature, she's a fickle, fickle woman, and she's going to mess around with us every year, and we have no control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of control over the economy either. And I just think that they need to look, that all politicians need to look at collaborating and working together and concentrate on what's best for the whole of the country instead of concentrating what's best for one party or another, or what's best for them to be able to get reelected next time.
Mm-hmm.
I really would like to see politicians step to the plate, tell me what they're going to do for me and for my business, and instead of telling me what the other guy is doing wrong,
right.
And being willing to reach across the aisle and work together to find solutions.
That's
spoken
good advice.
Like a woman.
That's right. Work together. Work together.
And Maria, we have to say we're out of time, but we have to say you are at the front of our binder.
Woohoo! Am I excited about that?
Well, you've been listening to Heritage Radio Network and We Dig Plants. Thanks to our sponsor. Thank you, Maria, for joining us and shedding light on the industry. And we'd love to have you on again.
Sure. I thank you. And you can follow us on upshoothort.com, or we're on Facebook, too, under Upshoot Hort. And we're also under myself, Maria Zampini. Join me there at any of those locations.
Well, our show was produced by Jack Inslee.
Thanks,
and engineered
Maria.
By Joe G. Please join us on our Facebook fan page, Groundworks Inc. We Dig Plants. We'd love your feedback. We'll be posting a link to Maria's blog and website. Thanks for listening. See you in the garden.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.